The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Too many people settle for average because they feel that it's too difficult to go beyond average to exceptional. The tools are all there, but people don't realize the small amount of extra effort that is needed to reap big rewards. Welcome to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. Chris and his guest experts are here to show you where the possibilities lie and what they can do to help you. Now, here is your host, Chris Ruisi.
And good afternoon, everybody. Well, for those of you here on the east of the Mississippi, it is now afternoon. It's 12:02. And for those of you on the other side, this is good morning to you still. Well, it's the week after Thanksgiving. Everybody is lamenting over what they ate that they said they wouldn't eat. And now you're kind of making sort of half-assed, I guess I can say that, promises to yourself that you're going to get in shape for Christmas. So it's up to you, so don't blow it. Well, we got a great show today, and another episode of Step Up and Play Big with me. I got my guest today is Bill Schley. Now, Bill is a two-time guest on Step Up and Play Big, and that'll give you some idea just how smart and how cool he really is. Today, we're going to discuss Bill's great book called The Microscript Rules. It's not what people hear, it's what they repeat. And I'm going to be talking to Bill about his expert insights on not only telling your story, but making sure it gets repeated time after time. As Bill says, the book shows you how to put the message in the madness. You call it survival of the simplest, is what he says. And that's the bottom line if you're in branding, politics, teaching, a business owner or an advertiser, or just every day are out there trying to tell your story. It's really, the book is for anyone who communicates in this very hyper-connected, confusing, and fast-paced world. You know, we have over 3 billion messages going by each second, and we can't break through by delivering more information. Our human brains want less, and I think it was Bill in our first conversation back in August who taught me that, you know, we only have the capacity to remember one or two critical aspects of a business, and we like to make snap judgments on the least bit of the info we get. The people want us to package our story for them in what Bill calls microscripts. So I love the title, microscripts. Now, when Bill first appeared on my show in August, we discussed two of his other books, The Unstoppables, Tapping Your Entrepreneurial Power, and one of my all-time favorite books that Bill wrote called Why Johnny Can't Brand. Now, I've read each one of those books from cover to cover. I've got folded over corners. I've got things underlined in red, yellow highlighter, and blue of the key points, and I've used them in my business as well as with the work that I do with my clients. So don't be cheap. Go buy all three of them now. Get the trifecta and give yourself and your business an unbelievable and unbeatable competitive marketing and branding edge. So we got a lot to cover today. Let me get into Bill's bio. Bill Schley is an award-winning branding expert, author, speaker, and lifelong entrepreneur, lives up in Connecticut. He is president and co-founder of Brand Team 6 and is known for creating the Dominant Selling Idea, or DSI, at some of the world's most successful companies. He began his career as a writer at the legendary Ted Bates Advertising Agency in New York, where he won an Effie Award for Sales Effective Advertising. In addition to The Unstoppable, which was his fourth book, as I said before, he wrote Why Johnny Can't Brand, which won the award for one of the top 5 marketing books of the year by Strategy Plus Business Magazine. And what we're going to talk about today, The Microscript Rules. He has appeared on CNBC, Street Signs, CNN Money Online, and numerous syndicated radio programs. So, if you want to call in and talk to us today, the number is 866-472-5790. Or you can email me at chris@chrisruisi.com if you don't want to hear your voice on the radio. And let's get started. And Bill, thanks for being here today.
Hey, I'm happy to be here, Chris. I got to tell you, after I hear all that stuff, I feel good about myself.
Well, that's what we want to do, Bill. I want you at the top of your game here, you know?
Well, right, but I was feeling so bad after eating so much at Thanksgiving. So
yeah, I know.
Cured me.
I break you down, then kind of build you back up.
So. right.
So here we are. It's a rainy kind of a cloudy day here, but we got some good stuff to talk about. So, Bill, let's get started. How did you arrive at the decision to write the Microscript Rules?
Well, like you mentioned, we had written a book called Why Johnny Can't Brand, and that was kind of, for me, it was my magnum opus. It was everything I had learned in 25 years about how to brand something. I started learning from the original Mad Men back on Madison Avenue, and they really were the original Don Drapers and those Mad Men. They really knew how to sell. So we learned from them about the unique selling proposition, which we call a dominant selling idea, but it's the one big thing you stand for. And we'd written this book, but for me there seemed to be a missing link, and that was that when you have the idea, the one thing you stand for, let's say it's Volvo, the safe car. That would be your dominant selling idea. That's what you stand for.
Right.
Or M&Ms, you know, the little hard chocolate candies. That what those great branding guys did was they turned into a tagline that I could remember. They came up with Timex Tough Watch. That was the dominant selling idea. And then they turned into It Takes a Lickin' and Keeps on Tickin'. That's
right.
The thing that people walked around remembering and repeating.
They still do.
Turned into Wheaties Breakfast of Champions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the biggest ones was when, if you remember the OJ trial, Johnny Cochran summed up the entire 9 months defense of OJ with one sentence in about 8 words. He said, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. And that's all anybody took away and remembered. And we realized, you can come up with a strategy. How are you going to differentiate your company or yourself? But then people don't think in strategy. They think in terms of these wonderful little phrases. This is what they remember and repeat. So come up with your strategy, Tough Watch. Then put in a little phrase, and that works magic, because that's what people are going to go around and repeat to each other.
Right,
That was the missing link. And we call those micro scripts because they really were like little scripts. They're designed to be repeated word for word, just like a little script, and they have a very definite sort of structure. So that's what happened. We realized and ended up writing the book, the micro script rules, to sort of finish off the equation, basically.
Yeah, when you sent me my copy of the Microscript Rules,
yeah,
you wrote to me, and it kind of aligned everything in the first book, mm-hmm. and hope you enjoy, which I did. So how does the Microscript Rules fit in with Why Johnny Can't Brand, and if so, does it fit with the Unstoppables?
Well, first of all, it fits with the Unstoppables because the Unstoppables is about, one thing we learned in the Unstoppables was that, again, people simplify things. People are looking for a few very short rules that are very important. People don't think in terms of long lists of things. They run their businesses usually by three or four important rules. And they remember those rules in little microscripts. The people that really brought that home to us were when we met the Navy SEALs and we were writing the Unstoppables, because we wanted to talk to who are the masters of risk, failure, and getting up and doing it again and not quitting. You know, Navy SEALs, they know more about anything, about that than anyone. And when they teach, they'll teach a rule, and then they'll add a little microscript to it so you can remember it.
Okay.
And so they're using these techniques. If you look at how our moms taught us everything from the golden rule to how to, how to be safe and how to go through life, our moms instinctively used little microscripts. They said, and you can remember to this day every single one. So, I just opened my book here to some of those. Better safe than sorry. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Live and let live. You only go around once. No pain, no gain. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Now, there's thousands of those things, but I know we can remember every single one because that's how our brains like to work. They love to package it Our brains think in little word figures like that. And if you want to communicate with people, it makes sense to construct those things and feed it to people. They'll take them, they'll use them.
Yeah. I remember my mother say, make sure your underwear is always clean.
Exactly. Yeah, right. But look at these things. The fact is, we realize, we asked about how the book happened. We were during one of the presidential campaigns a few years ago, we saw that the Republicans were really, really good at this. What they were doing is creating little micro scripts that anyone who's on wanted to get into a political discussion about one of the candidates, if they supported the Republicans, they could say, they had little scripts that they could say. They were prepackaged for them, and people used them. I don't like John Kerry. Why? He's a flip flopper. Remember that
right.
one?
Yep.
Well, now I could get into anyone, as Bubba down in Alabama can get at a bar and say, "Well, I'm not voting for that guy because he's a flip flopper." But they remember these little scripts and realize, "Hey, that's what they're doing." Then we realized, wait a second, this is what all the great branders have always done: is come up with these little scripts.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yep.
Now, again, and then we'll get off. Then we'll move on.
Yep.
Is there a sequence to how you should, which books you should read first?
Of my books?
Yeah, of your books.
Of course, you should read them all.
Very well, as I said,
starting with the first one, which was an exercise book on slow motion weightlifting, by the way.
I missed that one, but I'll go get it.
Well, you know what? People, believe it or not, everything kind of ties together in some way eventually. No, I think Why Johnny Can't Brand is basically the foundation of everything. Once you understand about what categories and specialties are and how to go in and find that one idea that you stand for, then I think the microscript rules is the icing on the cake because, again, it tells you how to create. They're not sound bites. They're like little story bites. If the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Where there's smoke, there's fire. It creates a word picture in your mind that you can't forget. The bridge to nowhere. I mean, these are rich. Remember the domino theory back in the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
If you think about the domino theory, think about the picture that it instantly places in your mind. That is, I mean, you see dominoes falling over. You can hear them going around a circle. You understand that if one, the logic that's implied, if one falls, all the rest will fall. And because of that little microscript that everybody in America could say, by the way, back then, I think that's why probably a big reason why we went into the war in Southeast Asia all those years ago. People believed in the domino theory, and they could rally around that microscript.
Right. Yet there are times, Bill, and maybe you agree, maybe you don't, where business owners I've met, they sometimes think more is better in terms of how they describe what they believe is their value proposition.
right. Thank you. That's what we call the positioning paradox. So what people do is people think, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to list every single possible feature and benefit that I possibly have so I won't leave anything on the table, and the customer will select one out of the long list of things that I do, and they'll say, I want to buy that. The opposite is what's true. What the customer does is they just see a blur of sameness. They see nothing that stands out, and they basically ignore you because they're getting the same lists that are saying the same things from 500,000 commercials.
Other places, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are people that go to the racetrack and they bet win, place, and show. For the same horse.
Well, right. And the problem is that it's hard for businesses to make the choice and say, "Look, we're going to stand for one thing." They say, "Well, look at all the other people we're leaving on the table." But you realize that when you stand for one thing, now you stand out.
Yep.
And that one thing you stand for. Once you stand for it and you say, we're the champion in this one important area, then your customers will attribute all the other good things to you. I always go back to Volvo Safe Car because it's one that everybody knows. When Volvo says, we're the safe car, their customers say, well, gee, safe car, that must mean it's well-engineered. That must mean they care about their customers. That must mean that they're smart and they're innovative. You see what I mean? They're attributing all these other good things to you because you stand out for, because you're the gold medal winner in one thing.
Yep. All right. Well, this is a great place, Bill, to take a break. We're coming up to the end of the segment, and we're going to come back to all this later on. So stay there. This is Chris Ruisi with my guest, Bill Schley.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And we're back. This is Chris Ruisi, segment number two with my guest, Bill Schley. Had a great conversation in the first 13 minutes that Bill and I were chatting. Again, the call-in number is 866-472-5790, or you can email me at chris@chrisruisi.com. I'm going to say this a couple of times, but, you know, for more information, you can go to billschley.com. You can go to brandteam6.com or unstoppables.com to get more information about Bill and the things that he has done and how it can help you. So, Bill, we're back. Let's talk about the, you know, we talked about the brain liking things, and then the brain doesn't like things in long, drawn-out ways, nor do people. Brains think in little words so they can simplify material, recall it quickly when they need it. Now, let's talk about the dominant selling idea, the DSI, and your rule of thumb for it, which I think you had on page 22 of the book, where you had, let me get it here. The rule of thumb tell our brain to get to the heart of a matter fast and automatically take the best action. And when you, I think you used the example, an important idea or directive, including a rule of thumb or so, can be made more powerful and memorable when verbalized as a microscript. And you took the one when you say guns aren't intrinsically bad, and use that guns don't kill people, people do.
Right.
So the dominant selling idea. Let's talk about that for a little bit.
That's right. Well, the idea is that guns aren't the fault. Aren't guns? Guns
right.
themselves aren't at fault. It's the people. But that's a strategy statement. So if you say guns don't kill people, people do, you are putting it in this what we call a microscript. What we found that what microscripts usually are, they're usually vivid little word pictures. So they're like a metaphor. Something is like something else. It's a word picture, but also often they rhyme, not always, or their language is rhythmic. Again, it's because that's why people, the brain likes to remember things, easy to remember. I mean, that's why we tell nursery rhymes to little children. That's why songs rhyme. We instinctively love rhymes, and so when you put something in rhyme, it helps us remember. It's just things that people like. But it stands to reason that if you've got a business and you want to get one idea into the heads of your market, and you've got all the competition, not just from your own competitors, but from all the other advertising communication that's going on out there, the 24-hour news cycle. I mean, all the different media that it's unprecedented. You don't get a list of ideas. You get, if you're lucky, to put one idea of a difference in people's heads, number one, that they can remember. That's all you get. And doesn't it stand to reason, if people love to remember in microscripts, create a little microscript to make them remember it. That's what the great branders all did. So, yep. I mean, you come up with pork is the other white meat. Or you come up with a diamond is forever. They see these things, we all remember these things because they trigger a little story in our heads. A diamond is forever. Look at how romantic that is. Have you said that to someone, especially someone who was in love, that would trigger a whole movie in their brain, wouldn't it? So that's how powerful these things are. What they do is they trigger a story in your head, or they connect with a story that's already going in our heads. That's where they work. It's that story aspect.
Right.
So,
right.
That's kind of what we found out how they work.
Now, we're going to get to the story. I got some notes on the story a little bit later on. I want to get back to the four biggest rules, which are the foundations for microscripts. And you list them as it's what they repeat. One master medium, microscripts, what they want to repeat are microscripts, and the DSI. We've talked about DSI, and you also make one comment about what you call the mother commandment. If you make it work at word-of-mouth level, you'll make it work everywhere. I want to get your thoughts on those rules and then the mother commandment.
Well, can I say something? That
sure.
One about the word-of-mouth and the ultimate commandment is really critical, because what that also does is puts in perspective all the stuff that's going on in social media and all the confusion around social media, where people have businesses, they're being told by all these marketing gurus that social media, everything has to change for social media. You've got to have all of this presence on social media, and it's good. It's an amazing new medium. But people don't realize that the medium is not the message. The medium, the social media, is the pipes. It's just another channel to broadcast with. What it's done is, when you hold up, you have your little cell phone, and we're all holding mine right now, right? It's a word of mouth machine. It lets us talk to other people, broadcast to other people, friends, peers, members of our tribe, whatever it is, to endorse and basically, to talk about things and endorse products and to promote things that we believe in. So these little word of mouth machines, so it's really a primitive mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a medium as powerful as social media, and you come up now with a microscript to push through that medium, now think about how powerful it is. Because now you've got the medium, you've got all the pipes, you can broadcast to the world. Now give them that one idea of a difference and give them a way to remember it and repeat it. Tell me, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Okay.
Right?
Yep, right.
Give me that little story bite that I cannot resist remembering. My mind can't resist remembering a story. And that, when you do that, now you're making the social media really work for you.
Got it. Now, on you know, you say several times just how important your DSI, how important it is in getting your DSI right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's drill into that a little bit. Again, not to be repetitive, but how important is it to get it right? And are there any pitfalls people should avoid when developing the DSI?
I mean, let's put it this way. People choose, they choose when they have a need, they go out and they look for a product to fill that need. They look for a product category. So first they have a category need. I need to go to the grocery store. That's, I have a need, and it's a category. I don't need a hardware store. I need groceries. So I'm going to go to that category. Then in that category, I pick the brand I want to go to. Well, now there's four grocery stores, and I'm going to go to HEB or Stop and Shop. So first they pick a category they need, then they pick a brand. They pick that brand because that brand has a difference that they want. That they all may have differences. They all may have different, you know, attributes and pluses and minuses. But there's one ultimate difference that makes me pick that brand right then.
Right.
And I would call that the difference that makes the difference. Now,
the difference that makes the difference
is what a dominant selling idea is. It's the difference that makes the difference to that buyer at that moment. So he literally chooses that product. And I don't know, but if I had a business, I think that was pretty important to decide what that difference is.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
And then own that difference in the mind of the customer.
Well, you know, that leads me to ask you about, and you talk about this in your book, I think on page 76, the five ingredients of your DSI.
Yes, yes, it's important, right.
You list them at best, at important, believable, measurable.
Yeah. So a dominant selling idea, it's a very special kind of idea. It's not just any idea. It's a selling idea. So you can have a difference, for example, but it's not a selling difference. For example, communism is different than democracy. There's a difference. But I don't want communism. It's not a selling difference.
Right.
It has to be a difference, first of all. But then it has to be a difference that I want because it makes my life better.
Uh-huh.
That's the important business. So that's a selling difference. And that's a lot of times we watch commercials and stuff today, and they show you, they show you a bunch of, 30 seconds of some entertainment that's supposed to make me laugh. And then they compare you and they say you're different over, but they don't tell you, you don't have any idea why that difference even matters to you. So a dominant selling idea, we figure, has five parts. First of all, it always says you're the best at something.
Right.
And if you're in a category, you have to say, I'm the best in this category. Okay, it says that's the first thing. Because no one ever went out to buy the second or third best of anything. They want something, they want to buy the best. They want to buy the number one, they think, in that category. The next thing is the difference has to be something they want. So it has to be important.
Right.
Again, you can have the largest selection of brown ties in your store in town, but no one cares. It has to be something they want. Then it has to be believable coming from you. So you see sometimes brands try to extend and they say, well, our brand is so great and wonderful, we can put our name on anything. But it doesn't work that way. It has to be believable. So, for example, I wouldn't go out and buy Porsche, Porsche beer, for example. Or Nike speakers, loudspeakers. But I would buy Nike footwear, maybe Nike apparel and something. So it has to be believable coming from you. And lastly, it has to be measurable. They have to be able to see that difference and feel that difference.
Yep.
The last one is, and then it has to be ownable. It can't already be used by somebody else.
Where do people, business owners, make the biggest mistake or blow it in these five ingredients?
I will tell you. First of all, they're not specific enough. Specific
right.
is the most important rule there is. So when they'll talk about platitudes that everybody talks about, they say quality, service, and good prices and selection.
Right.
Well, the thing is, everybody has said those are nice words, but because every single person says them, they all cancel each other out. They end up meaning nothing to a consumer. When you talk about something specific, you can stand for something specific. Look at Enterprise Rent-A-Car.
Right.
They're all around our car rental companies in the country, all talking about the same thing and all talking about low price and good customer service. But Enterprise picked one specific attribute. They said, we'll pick you up. Now, no one ever had said that before, and all it really meant was, we've got good service. It was a difference, but it's only one tiny little bit of what they do. But it was symbolic of a different kind of service that, hey, we're not at the airport. We're the one that's not at the airport, so you might not be able to get to us, so we'll pick you up. But that specific difference, really set them apart. They didn't say, hey, great service. They said a specific thing.
Got it.
Yeah.
All righty.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times you'll just find these things. So that's one of the main things again.
All right, great. Wait, it's time for a break. We're going fast here as usual because it's a great show. So stay there. Bill and I will be back in about 90 seconds. And we have a question from Donna in Fort Lauderdale when we come back.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit chrisruisi.com to step up and play big.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting chrisruisi.com and clicking the book.
We're always talking business. Talk to an expert. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And this is Chris Ruisi, and welcome back to Step Up and Play Big with me and my guest today, Bill Schley, talking about his book, The Microscript Rules. Let me just read you the tagline. It's not what people hear, it's what they repeat. And we spent a fair amount of time in the last segment talking about dominant selling ideas. And I'd asked Bill what the biggest pitfall mistake people make when trying to create their DSI. And while we were in between segments here, we began to talk about it some more. So, Bill, I'm asking the question again. What's the biggest mistake they make?
Well, I think the biggest mistake is literally not making the choice to stand for one thing, being too afraid. It's really the fear of taking, if I have eight different attributes, of literally sacrificing five or six of those things and saying, I'm going to stand for this one thing. That causes a great amount of fear and consternation in the hearts of many, many business people, but it's the reason that they can't create great brands, because they won't make that choice. When they do, when you make that choice, it's almost like magic happens, because all of a sudden you find a focus that you never had before.
Right. You have a purpose.
energy and creativity you never have before, and so do your people when they realize, wow, you know, think of 20 flags waving in the breeze, lined up, standing on a hill, right? Take away 19 of those, and there's that one flag, and all of a sudden people say, wow, that's where we're going. That's how we're going to win. That's what we march to. That's what we're going to become experts in. That's what we're going to stand for more than anybody else. It is just remarkable what that focus does for companies and your customers. But it requires sacrifice, as my friend Graham Weston says. To do that, you have to be willing to sacrifice all those other little gems.
Right.
Because you're willing to stand for one thing. It takes a little courage, but it always is the key to setting yourself apart.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and, excuse me, that confusion on their part, that reluctance, that fear, that just spreads to their employee base, to their customers,
yeah.
and then they wonder why they're standing in place and not going anywhere. They find
That's
themselves,
right.
I describe it, studying all the sides of a circle, not sure which way to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're doing is customers are out there faced with this range of choices that, again, it's completely unprecedented. It's completely confusing. There's 300,000 SKUs now at the supermarket. You know, it used to be there's 300 things in the supermarket. They need help making a decision. They
yeah.
need you to help show them the difference so they can decide. So they can say, wow, that makes sense to me. They are begging you to differentiate yourself.
Oh, yeah, and I, my own personal experience, if I'm in a store buying something and I've got two or three different brands there, I'm looking for that one thing that jumps off the label or something
yeah.
that says, hey, well, pick me. And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, look at this. There's such simple things. There's this new vodka that's out that people heard about. I know it's a family show, but I can talk about vodka.
That's
right?
Okay, go for it.
Yeah, they have, so it's called Tito's Vodka. It happens to come from Texas here. And it says a simple thing. It says Tito's handcrafted vodka. Handcrafted. Now, I don't know what that means, but it conjures up a little story in my head of guys carefully making small batches in barrels and carefully, lovingly by hand. But, you know, I think that's a little microscript kind of a phrase, handcrafted vodka.
I'd never heard that, but now I'm going to go look for it.
Well, yeah, it's a small thing, but I think he found a way to say, you know, also it's the one from Texas, so that maybe that's the dominant selling idea. But another one is, you know, Kashi, those Kashi products, right?
Those
Kashi seen in the supermarket. They had a very specific little tagline. It said, seven whole grains on a mission. It's one of my favorites.
Yep.
It tells you everyone is made from this magical mixture of seven different whole grains, which I know are good for me, but also are very unique. It makes the product stand out for me. And when it says on a mission, that's kind of cool because it says yeah, and we care.
Yeah, it's like
but
grains
the way they
around
say it is
on.
Memorable and specific. And you know that those products are always going to be they're whole grain specialists.
All righty. Well, I got a
yep.
question here from Donna in Fort Lauderdale, and I'm hoping Donna is sending us her question from the beach and not sitting inside,
okay.
you know, making Bill and I jealous. Donna
yeah.
wants to know, how does someone come up with the right words and rhythm when they create their microscript?
That's a good one, because everybody in the world is not a copywriter necessarily.
Right.
The first thing is to get, what are you going to stand for? So, if there's three pizza places in my town, I'm going to be the brick oven pizza. Or
okay.
I'm going to be, in New York they say this is Chicago pizza, and in Chicago they say it's New York pizza. But they give you something that they say is going to differentiate, and then they explain what that is. So you come up with the idea. A lot of times, what will happen is you'll practice talking about your product to people and explain it with all the passion and enthusiasm that you have. And sometimes there's certain things you'll see where they light up. You'll see where they pay attention.
You see a reaction, yep.
Right, you'll see that. But then oftentimes you'll hear what they say back to you. And when and the things they say back to you, really, that's the elements of the stuff that they're remembering. That's the microscript. Now, in terms of turning it into a nice little rhyming phrase, I'm not sure. For me, what usually happens is, I practice a lot at doing it, so I do those kind of things. But we write out a brand story. We actually write out a narrative. Here's the brand in a little one-page story. And it's actually okay. The stuff is in the book. It's called a brand story, where you say, and brand stories have a formula. Here's the way the world, once upon a time, the world was like this. But there was a big problem. People had this problem. So along came a company to fix it. What the company did was this. Now the world has changed. Okay? That's what all brand stories are like. When you write those little narratives, you'll be amazed at how some of the language will come out.
Sure, you're repositioning your mind, yep.
It does. It's an exercise that helps you come up with the story, with the idea. So there isn't a, people ask this all the time. It's trial and error. It's writing it out. It's talking it and listening to what people say back to you. And sometimes it's a little bit of luck, no?
Sure, and so you've got to try it to get the reaction. You said you got to try it and see how people respond to it.
That's right. They don't always have to rhyme, but it's nice when it's a little compact phrase, you know.
Yep.
So.
Well, you call microscripts sticky words.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
The sticky part is the story part. The sticky part is the when it triggers a vision in my head. It starts a movie going in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. I can write a novel about that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, here's another one for Donna or for anybody else. People say, well, that's great, but for my business it's too complicated. I can't do a microscript. I can't describe my business in 6 words. And I say, well, let me tell you, that's absolutely not true, because let me give you some examples. I mean, someone asked I like this story. Someone asked a rabbi once in ancient times if he could explain the Bible. He said, yeah, I can tell you in one sentence. Do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. All the rest is commentary. Okay?
Right. Yep.
Or one of those, the famous one that Ernest Hemingway wrote a whole novel in 6 words. He said, for sale, baby shoes never worn. Now, those little things. Look at the amount of story, the amount of just images that come into your head when you say those few short words. And so it just proves to people, hey, I certainly can do it for my pizza place. I certainly can do it for my business. And you can.
You know, and they use the excuse that they don't know where to take the first step.
Yeah. Okay. So this now I'm going to give this some from The Unstoppables, which is a book about starting and keeping going through failure and not quitting.
Right.
You have to take the first step. You don't even have to take the first step in the right direction. You don't even have to know if it's going backwards or forwards. You just have to take a step. And that's the magic of getting started doing anything. That's how entrepreneurs start businesses. That's how people come up with taglines. They say, and Dominic Sung ideas, say, well, I want to find this, now I'm going to go on a quest for it. And they take that first step. They don't get it the first time.
Yeah, that's true of anything, really.
It really is. But it's how it all comes together, even stuff like even things like this.
Yeah, I always tell people, you know, that they're in what I call getting ready to get started, to commence, to begin mode.
Yeah.
And,
do you want to know? Do you know what? As a guy has written 4 books that can't believe he wrote 4 books.
Yeah. Right.
People, how do you write a book? You know, there's a thing called writer's block. You sit down, you get your typewriter. You have absolute typewriter. So the old lamp.
You have nothing to say.
Nothing to say.
Yep.
What you do is you literally hit the keyboard.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. You hit the keyboard, start to type a few words and a few things. Literally, by taking the first step and starting, it starts to get your mind in motion to do the next thing and the next thing. That's how you cure writer's block.
Absolutely.
So that's the advice I can give.
I do a weekly newsletter called my Monday Morning Wake-Up Call, and I would be lying if I didn't admit to the fact that there are days, and I usually write them on Tuesdays or Wednesdays, that I'll sit there and I'll stare. And I'll start something and say, well, that really sucked. Let me do this. And, you know, a couple of, you know, that really sucked moments, and all of a sudden I'm on to something. So, hey, we got about 30 seconds left on this segment, so let's break here. I'm going to be back in 90 seconds with my guest, Bill Schley, and we're going to talk a little bit about stories and get some really good examples of how to create microscripts and how do they work. Stay there. We'll be back.
Business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Make sure to order your copy today of Step Up and Play Big, where Chris Ruisi coaches you on how to create a future vision, make better decisions, develop effective business habits, and find out what it means to be a leader by identifying and solving problems to drive you and your organization to top performance levels. This book is a must-read for all business leaders. Find out how to get your own copy of the book on Amazon.com or by visiting ChrisRuisi.com and clicking the book.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Many leaders and companies work with Chris Ruisi. As a business mentor, Chris helps to guide these leaders and companies to bigger results and puts them on the road to success. If you are looking to step into a bigger role in your organization, email Chris today to learn how you can be exceptional with less effort than you think. You can send an email to chris@chrisruisi.com, or you can visit the website to find out where Chris will be appearing next, coaching, and his books. Visit ChrisRuisi.com to step up and play big.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to Step Up and Play Big with Chris Ruisi. To reach the program today, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. If you'd like to send us an email, please send it to chris@chrisruisi.com. Now, back to Step Up and Play Big.
And we're back. This is Chris Ruisi, and God, we're coming around the turn here to the last segment of the show. So we're in the home stretch. If we were a racehorse, we'd be panting, but giving it all the way to the end. So, Bill, let's talk about we spoke last week when we talked about DSI and microscripts, how to use your DSI to frame up both sides of the equation in terms of positioning what you stand for on one side, saying you're number one in some category on the other side. So let's give some examples, I guess what you did up at Rackspace, so folks can understand that. And I think we also talked about the cola versus the uncola.
Well, yeah, that was the one that triggered it for us. That's one of the most famous, I guess, you know, advertising positioning cases, I think, in the last several decades, which is when 7-Up, you know, 7-Up, how are they going to compete with Coke? You know, Coke and Pepsi had 80% of the market or something. What are they? And they basically said, look, we're not better, we're different. You decide. But if you're looking for something that's not cola, we're it. We're the uncola. And that meant something to a lot of people. They never were going to take an 80% market share because people love cola, but there were an awful lot of people that wanted a clear, non-cola, gingery kind of taste, like Sprite, 7-Up. It was for 7-Up. And it became one of the most interesting, you know, positionings, you know, campaigns of all time. So when we were trying to position this company called Rackspace, they're trying to refresh their positioning. So we brought the example of T-Mobile, right? The phone, mobile phone company. They were number four. They had to find a way to compete with the big boys like Verizon and Sprint and everything. And they started to say, hey, we're not like the other guys. They started calling themselves the uncarrier. You know, they're the regular. We know that you hate your mobile phone company, because they give you contracts, because they give you this crazy pricing that somehow goes up every single month because they've got terrible customer service, on and on and on, because they charge you too much for the phones. They say, we're not going to be like that. We're going to be like the Un-carrier. And what does that mean? We're not going to give you contracts, right? You know, where they start doing all these things that all the other that they know the customers hated, but that all the other phone company mobile companies did. They started right. not doing it, doing the opposite, and they differentiated themselves as the other guys. So when you are trying to come up with what you stand for, it's also often good to define who the other guys stand for. So you'll see politicians do that all the time. They'll say, well, he's a flip-flopper, so he's defining what his opponent is, and he's giving a microscript to his opponent, and then he's hopefully also then defining what he does stand for in a positive way. So it's just a great technique. We call it the binary frame, where you frame up both sides.
Okay.
Rackspace, let me say Rackspace.
Yeah, Rackspace.
Our category is called the managed cloud. So we named the other guys as the commodity cloud. Now people could compare.
Okay, so. And did the other guys give you any flack for you labeling them?
No. What happened was that the press starts writing about the cloud categories, and now they pick up the microscript. They picked up the language that we fed them because it was good language. Now they said, okay, well, you know, there's a difference. The press said, there's a difference between cloud providers. There's not just one category. There's actually two. There's commodity clouds, and it's a big general purpose public one size fits all cloud. And there's these other guys that do the opposite. It's a managed cloud where they specialize the cloud, customize it just for you. It's not as big as those, you know, the big commodity clouds, but for a lot of people, it's better. And what happened was, also, we said it's not. We said we didn't say it's better. We said it's different. We'll tell you it's different, then you can decide if it's better for you or not.
So I'll use your words, but I'm repeating it back. Mm-hmm. You framed it up in the way that would lead people to the conclusion you wanted to lead them to.
Yeah, but you see, you know, all frame. People talk about framing. All it is a story. Framing is a story. If a different frame is take the same with the same set of facts, I can tell a different story.
Okay? Well, you know, we were talking on the break. I think I said mm-hmm. that old sales expression is facts tell, stories sell. So that
right,
I guess
exactly.
this is where you're going with that.
Well, I think that you look at anybody, that the greatest secret of communication of anybody is that great communicators tell stories. And that's why, and I tell you, this is when I was back as a copywriter many, many years ago on Madison Avenue. My boss, who was a legendary guy on Madison Avenue, said, listen, you can spend 2 hours making a speech telling your customer every single feature and benefit and bell and whistle and statistic that you've got, and 10 minutes later, he'll forget 99% of it. He said, tell a man a story, and 20 years later, he'll come back and repeat it word for word.
Right, right.
Nothing is more powerful than story. The reason is because story uses those metaphors and those word pictures to stick in the mind. And so if you, again, when we say the reason why microscripts work is because they give you a little piece of a story, the bridge to nowhere. Creates a whole story in your mind.
Yeah, it creates a need that you want to know more. Exactly right.
Well, yeah, and it creates pictures, and it creates vivid, that's the kind of stuff that we remember. So
yeah.
Story is the most powerful communication means there is.
Well, they used to draw on walls, you know, to tell a story, so.
Well, they did. And that's. And listen, but our brains were set up that way because for 50,000 years there's no other way to communicate through generations. You had to look at what people had to do. They had to communicate a culture from generation to generation to generation. They didn't have anything to write with. right? So by creating stories and myths that remembering the essence of these stories, they could pass down all the knowledge from generation to generation and the culture from generation to generation. And our brains evolved to love that formula. We love story. So all we're doing is we're communicating with people the way they like to be communicated with.
Okay, well, look, excuse me, a little tickle there.
I gotta say this. The biggest epiphany we came up with is that every brand is a story. When you have that idea, that dominant selling idea, it triggers a story. When I say it's the safest car, I can tell a whole story about safe cars and why I need safe cars and how we came up with a need for safe cars. A good dominant selling idea will trigger a story in people's heads, and you tell about the brand in a story form. Here was the problem, then we fixed it, now the world's different. That right there is a story.
Great. Well, that's a good place to start to wrap up here, you know, a story. My guest today has been Bill Schley, you know, and this has been Bill, if I do, we're going to get you back a third time. We're going for the trifecta.
Okay.
Now, in less than 24 hours, there's going to be a recorded version of this show on my show page at Voice America, the business channel. Go there, get your notes. You should have a lot of notes. Bill was great today, and I've got, we say this, but it's true, I've got about 2 pages of notes here on some things that I'm going to use with clients and some things I'm going to use with myself. I need for you to go to my website, chrisruisi.com, and sign up for my Monday morning wake-up call. I need for you to go buy my book and on Amazon. It would help. Step Up and Play Big, How to Unlock Your Potential, Be Exceptional, and 8 Simple Steps. And next week, I'm going to be your guest. It's going to be a show for you, a call-in show. I dare you to try to stump me with your questions. And I want to thank you all for listening in. Have a great rest of the week. Remember, our first responders, our veterans, and the men and women who are currently serving on the military, and, of course, their families who are at home taking care of business. So go on out, step up, and play big, and make something happen. We'll see you all next week. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into the show, Step Up and Play Big, featuring Chris Ruisi, can be heard live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. Be sure to join us again next week.